Better Late Than Never here on the Doghouse at ntnradio.com. Also, patreon.com/NTN or NTN Radio. I don't remember now.
Ken's it'll get you it'll get you close enough that you can find us.
It'll get you close enough. Ken's going to have my head over that. Woo! Welcome, Warren, to our winter wonderland.
12 inches of snow.
I only got like 7. I feel like I got ripped off.
Because you got a big, heavy-duty, hardcore snowblower, and you haven't got to use it yet.
I was so great to like run it down the driveway and actually have snow shooting out of it, mainly then grass and rocks.
Yeah, I did see the Facebook post of that.
I was very much happy. The problem is here's the thing.
Because I did see a lot of, you know, there was a lot of white coming out the little nozzle, but there was a lot of dark streaks going to tell too.
Yeah, well, that was over in a muddy spot in my driveway. If you don't know, my driveway is about 700 feet long and hilly. Not crazy hilly, but pretty hilly. And it's dirt, right? It's gravel and dirt, so it's not the world's best. And when I got out here, I was like kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I thought about putting a plow on my truck. And I was like,
be the plow king.
You know, I plowed for so many years in New York. I just was like, meh, I know the beating it does. And I also know on a gravel driveway, the beating it would do to the driveway. And I was like, I don't really need that. And I was buying a tractor, and they were like, we'll give you 10% off another thing. So I bought the snowblower. So I bought a snowblower. And it ain't snowed since. Well, it did.
It has been worth every penny you spent over the last 3 years.
It's expensive. But it literally came in a couple days after that 4-foot storm we had a couple years ago.
Just a few days too late. Could have protected us all.
I could have protected us all. And since then, we literally haven't had anything worth. I mean, I've drained it down the driveway over a couple inches, A, to make sure it's still working, and B, to make sure that I remember how it hooks up. You know, because you're like, oh, wait a second. But I actually got some snow, so I was kind of happy about that.
What do you do? Is that, you know, when you see a snow forecast, you take the blower outside and put it in the yard to scare the snow away?
No, it doesn't work that way. You have to actually hook it up.
Okay.
Usually I hook it up, take it down the driveway, make sure it all works and everything, and back it into the garage hoping that I'm going to get all this snow and then it doesn't come. And then I cry and I unhook and I put the bucket back on. But that wasn't the case this time, so I was kind of happy. I was actually very much happy. I was hoping for some more. But here's my biggest problem, right? It's kind of like going to the track. When you get there, you have like an hour's worth of track time and you leave. I turned on the snowblower. It's good enough that 2 swipes does my driveway. So I did 2 extra just to make my driveway wider into the grass because, you know, 8 minutes of snow blowing for the amount of money I paid for that thing over 3 years is just not enough.
Well, you could always go out to that little restaurant out there by where you live and do it there.
Well, no, that was already plowed. But I did.
You saw luck, huh?
Yeah, I did go over. You know the old English guy that I watched the motorcycle races with that comes over and watches the motorcycle races mm-hmm. with me? So I went over and did his driveway.
The old English guy. So he likes that that leather smell on his aftershave.
Wrong kind of old English.
Oh,
he
okay.
Because he's like Cheerio, and I'm like Rice Krispie. he's a big race fan. He had like knee surgery and stuff over the summertime. So I figured he wasn't going to be out there. So I went over there and I did his driveway. So I was looking. I almost drove to your house to do yours.
The most you've used it since you bought it.
Yeah, I almost drove to your house, but you don't have enough driveway. I could have done your whole neighborhood, probably.
You probably could have.
Was it still snowed in?
No, but today it wasn't too bad.
Oh, okay.
The VDOT finally made it out. Someplace it didn't snow was inside Glendale.
No, but it was a lot of crying.
There was a lot of crying. A lot of precipitation of tears.
Yeah, it was almost like it was raining. What's the best way to say that? Let's start with the 250s or the 205s. Whatever.
I put the 405s down with an LOL.
I got
several people laughed at that one.
Yeah, I saw that. I really want to just take a clip of Emma calling them the 450s. I still think that's one of the greatest. But not really what you were expecting. I kind of expected it. I think Adam Ciancerola, and I'm going to say something really, that people are going to say is kind of absurd, right? I'm going to tell you this right now. I truly believe a healthy Adam Ciancerola is the fastest person in Supercross.
Yeah, I don't think that's the correct statement.
I do. I think when he's healthy, when he was,
has he ever been healthy? Is he? Yeah, not, is he? Well, not, is he healthy like today?
First, I don't know. For like the first 6 weeks or 7 weeks, he ran Supercross. He ran the East, and he was like 17. And I remember they were at Daytona, and this is when Villopato was in his championship runs, and Villopato was fast. And on his 250, Cianciarulo was like 3 seconds faster than Villopoto in qualifying on his 450. Cianciarulo can be fast. I think this is his year. I think last week was just maybe the jitterbugs got to him or something. I don't really know, you know, not racing, not being healthy. You know, there's a lot of mental game to Supercross, too, or just racing in general. But I think this is his year. If he has nights like he had last night, I mean, Saturday night, he will wrap this up.
The West.
He'll wrap it up. And he should move up to 450s. And if he moves up to 450s, I think he'll be impressive right away. If he stays healthy.
But, you know, I think Colt Nichols, you know, Mr. Tie-Dye, he was giving Cianciarulo a good run.
Yeah, I'm not saying Colt Nichols is
and fast. Colt won the first race.
Yeah.
First, you know, Anaheim 1.
Yeah, but
he might win Anaheim 2, 7, and 12.
Yeah, could be. Nichols is fast. McElroth is fast. Hampshire is semi-fast. The biggest thing about Hampshire, you got to worry about a hitting. I think so far the biggest disappointment in 250s has been Dylan Ferrandez. Just a lot of mental mistakes in the first two races.
He might be suffering some of the post-traumatic stress from nearly killing.
Weston Pike.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I wasn't even thinking about that.
He might not be 100% in the mental piece of it right now.
Yeah, and mental's a big part of the game. It's a big part of the game. The points title got Cianciarulo won. Nichols came in second.
So he's still Nichols is still
the points leader. Like 5 points.
But you know, you talked to those top four in Glendale, Cianciarulo, Nichols, McElrath, and Hampshire. I can see any of those four winning the championship.
They're all contenders.
That's why I'm saying is not a lot for Cianciarulo, and I don't think he was that much faster than all those other guys.
I think it's a lock for him if he's healthy. Well, I just don't know if he's 100% yet.
Has he ever been 100%?
Like his first 6 weeks when he was like 17. And when he was... Like,
and he's what, 45 now?
Yeah, he's like at least 30. he's not Chad
in racer
age.
In racing years, he's...
In racing years. But he's never, you know, he's actually never done a full season fully healthy. And I think that him at a full season,
which says a lot, because yeah, the 250 seasons are relatively short.
Yeah, you know, somebody called. I believe they called. I don't remember who they called. Somebody on Twitter was calling somebody the new Trey Kennard, and I was like, "Whoa!" They meant because he could be fast at times, but I was like, Trey Kennard gets broken a lot. I really think Cianciarulo's the new Trey Kennard.
Oh, you know, that's a good.
Right,
like, that might be a good.
Fast as hell.
That might be a good comparison.
Fast as hell, but it's hard to keep him healthy, right? And Cianciarulo's fast as hell. It's going to be a matter of if he stays healthy. If he stays healthy, it's his season to lose. If he doesn't, you know, then it's up for grabs. I think one of those guys could surprise us and grab it? Maybe.
But it won't be a surprise to me. You know, Colt Nichols is still in the lead, and Cianciarulo will have to win next week, and Colt will have to finish second just for them to be tied.
Yeah. But.
And I can see, way Colt ran, Mr. Tie-Dye, his uniforms are so freaking ugly.
Oh, hideous.
The way he ran, I mean, he would have won the race if he had made
it. Well, that's anybody, right?
No, but, what, you know, Cianciarulo got around him because he screwed up, not because Cianciarulo passed him straight up.
Yeah, but I think that was a matter of time. I think the writing was on the wall.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with it, but you can sit there and be wrong. It don't matter to me. but yeah, that's kind of the way I feel with 250s. I think it's cool that there's a lot of people that are names we don't really know that are racing. And some guys
I like that.
Yeah.
Because that means that, it's the system's working. You point out or you move up. And because you got, some guys down here below six, you got Chris Boyd, Blows, whatever. Sean Cantrell. I think he was in there last year.
Yeah, him and Mark Spanks were in there. McAdoo was in there last year. Starling was.
Merriam was in there last year.
Yeah, a couple. I don't think all of them.
But the rest of them, almost all the rest of them, I don't recognize their names.
No, that's great. I love that. I love that. That's a great thing. Anything you want to say about the track? I like the long start. I like the long walk.
Yeah, yeah. I kept looking for someone to run into the wall, but
Clint Boyer.
Clint Boyer from NASCAR wasn't there.
I was tagging Clint Boyer nonstop about that, and he didn't do nothing. I had to have a talk with him later. Smackdown.
What track was it that he did run into the wall? It wasn't Glendale, was it?
I'm gonna have to look. I thought it was someplace. Was it Atlanta? It was someplace where NASCAR was running a nearby track.
It had to be Atlanta then.
It could have been Atlanta or Dallas, right? Because usually when they run Dallas, NASCAR is at Texas Motor Speedway within a week.
Well, I don't think there's a big wall like that in the Dallas Stadium.
Okay. It had to be, maybe it was Atlanta then.
I don't know.
Anyway, I'll have to go back and look.
It doesn't matter. No one ran into the wall, but the tough blocks. Which race was that? I don't know which race it was.
Oh, yeah,
it was 250 or 450. But the tough block, man, one guy clipped it and threw it over it. Threw it into the rest of the pack.
Well, that's the thing about the tough blocks, right? They're tough on riders.
Oh,
right? We always think tough block keeps
you in
the track.
It's like it was the bowling ball and they were the pins.
Yeah. Because you also got to imagine, right? You're going into that corner, all of a sudden, whack, you're getting hit in the head.
You're already past the tough. You've already went past that particular tough block, but it came back and tagged you.
Yeah, well, the tough block got no love, man. It don't care who you are. It'll take you out. But the 250s. It was still good racing. We did finally get to see some KTM juniors. Somebody made the argument that maybe they didn't run them in the mud last week, which is
they've done that before.
BS to me, I know. But the KTM juniors. I was kind of surprised. I had made a statement on Twitter, right? Like Warren and
it was
I.
Very, it was a very, very short KTM juniors.
Yeah,
not like they have been in the past.
Yeah, one of the things that Warren and I try to do is we try to be active on Twitter during Supercross. We don't, so many of the road races are not live when we're watching it that it's like almost not worth it. And there's a bunch of crap talk, almost said S talk, but crap talk that goes on.
It's
on
back
Twitter.
And forth.
It's back and forth.
Not just between us, but a lot of people get involved.
And Shaheen makes comments every now and then. Ricky Carmichael, some of the other people. So it's kind of fun to get involved. But one of the things I said when they did their social media segment, which was just one segment, and they were showing old social media, it was Barsha's social media from last week after his win.
Yep. And somebody else's wedding photos.
Yeah, and it's like, I follow these guys on Twitter. I don't need you to tell me stuff a week late. If I wanted that, I'd follow them on Facebook.
And then there was a realization of why they're probably doing it.
Then I went and I said, and this is where the point I'm getting to is not picking on their social media because you don't have to pick on it. It's horrible.
It's not what it was last year.
No, or the last 5 years or whatever. Well, then what I said is, they're doing that because when the races aren't live, that way people aren't sending in pictures when the races aren't live. And I was surprised at how many people on Twitter who seem to be avid fans on things had no idea that not all the races are going to be shown live. They were like, this race is live. And I was like, yeah, this one is.
Seven of them aren't.
And it's seven of the last nine, including the championship round. I was really shocked at how many people didn't know that of the last nine races, seven aren't going to be live. Yeah.
A good example of that for you guys out there who didn't know it, the race in Nashville, which is their first time in Nashville, right?
I believe so.
All right, so the first time you're there, the race starts at 9. You can watch it at midnight.
Yeah.
Unless you go there or willing to pay $75 to see it live,
Right. They're going to spend a half.
You have to wait till midnight
so
to watch it.
This is what they're doing, right? And I'm not going to, I can't pick on them because I'm jealous in some ways. They're giving you the first half of the season live so that you'll want to spend that $75 to watch the second half.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not. You know, I just don't, it's not like I get any bonus coverage. Like, we do the MotoGP and the World Superbike, but we get a bunch of bonus coverage. And we're not getting anything extra.
Well, you do. You get to see all the preliminaries, and you get to see the local guys go out and try to make it, and then don't.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, bonus coverage. The 200 people that come out to try to get into the final 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to see all them.
Yeah, well, anyways. I'm just going to show you how I feel about that. But, you know, but I was just shocked at how many people don't know that it's not going to be live.
Now, I even threw up a poll during the race. How many people are going to pay $75 to watch the tape, to watch the series live? And not very many people filled it out, but it was 80%.
Yeah.
Said they weren't not pay the $75.
Well, you know, if you're watching it right now, MSNBC, NBCSN is a standard on my TV package.
Mm-hmm.
Right? With a lot of people like Ken, it's another $13 a month to get that group of channels. So what would piss me off is and I didn't even realize this until the other day, is if I'm paying $13 a month extra to get that channel, and now you want me to pay $75 more to watch this stuff live? I almost said the S word. Like, to me, it's like I'm already spending an extra $120 a year to watch that channel. You know, I mean, I'm sure I got one of the higher-end cable things that has a lot more channels, but I'm sure I'm paying for it.
Oh, yeah. Right? Same as I.
You know, but Ken said to add it to his, it's $13 a month to add that package group. So it's like, if I'm already spending the money to get NBCSN.
SC, Sports Channel.
SC, I thought it was SN, Sports Network.
Well, either way, it doesn't matter.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
You're still paying extra.
I'm paying extra, and now you want me to pay extra again? It's like, come on, Supercross.
You got to pay double extra.
Double extra. Right? I'm not a big fan. You know what? We're going to use that as a hashtag next week.
Pay double extra?
Double extra.
One of my, you know, I'm going to toot my blog here. IJustWantToRide.com. You can bleep it out if you want to. One of the posts that I wrote 3 or 4 weeks ago is still in the top five most read. And that says, Supercross, you've done us wrong. It's a short 3 or 4 paragraph post, but it's gotten a lot of traction.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's true. I'll tell you this. Even in my local newspaper, there was an article last week about it. You know, in the local newspaper out by where I live, about Supercross not being live and about what a mistake that could be for a sport that prides itself on being live and for kids and family friendly.
Midnight is not family friendly.
No, but it's a Saturday. No, but I mean, like, okay, a lot of the races get over late. I'm sure kids fall asleep.
Well, same here. But that's different than intentionally being it starting at midnight for a 3 hour, 2.5 to 3 hour show.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to watch it and not be, if you were at 9 o'clock, if you turned off all your multimedia sources, so you didn't look at Twitter, you didn't look at Facebook, you didn't look at anything, and then so you could stay up till midnight to watch it on NBC, so you could see it, you know, live to you.
Yeah.
You're going to stay up to 3 a.m. No one's going to do that. And then it's going to be rebroadcast later in the week at a more reasonable time. But how many people watch any sporting event when they know the results?
Not many. And here's the other thing is, right?
And you can't not know the results today.
So they're making their basis based on they want everybody to pay this extra, because I'm not going to watch it on demand because I can't fast forward through the commercials. I set my DVR up to record it because on a recording I can fast forward through the commercials. So now your advertisers are taking a hit because I fast forward through that crap. I fast forward through makeup and mud.
You can't fast forward the
demand.
On demand.
Right. But a lot of people are not dumb, right? We're not dumb like that anymore. So it's just kinda like It's just, I don't know. It doesn't it's make
not,
any
it's
sense.
It's not fan friendly.
It does not make any sense.
All right. Well, let's get off
let's
that.
Let's get on the 450s.
On the 405s.
The 405s. I thought it was a good race. I was very happy. I love the fact that we're two races in and we're two guys that in a lot of the people's talks were not people they were talking about being up there points lead and stuff like that, right? Or being up there winning races, right? I mean, we got Blake Baggett won this week, Barcia won last week, which somehow puts Roczen in a points lead. I'm not happy about that.
Well, because he had two podiums.
Yeah.
Where the other guys didn't do that. But, you know, I'm not a huge Roczen fan. None of us here are because of some of the stuff he's done, not talking about breaking his arms. But I'm not a huge Roczen fan, but yeah, you gotta kind of feel that he's got to feel the race was stolen because of the red flag, because he was out with almost a 10-second lead with, you know, it was unlikely that Baggett or Anderson or anyone was going to catch him because obviously Tomac didn't have his 650 out this weekend.
Yeah,
and they got that new bike. That the segment that he did on the new Kawasaki was pretty interesting. I don't know if you fast-forwarded through that or not, but that was interesting.
Well, no, because I watched live.
Okay, so you did see that. So maybe that has something to do with his bike not being performing as well as it did last year. But anyway, so the red flag, Roczen loses his 10-second lead, almost 10-second lead.
And the red flag was for the Malcolm Stewart injury when he hit the front of that jump,
that would look
and
rough.
He didn't move. Like
and
he wasn't trying
and
to
bikes
get,
were jumping over
yeah.
him.
Well, I couldn't tell, is he staying down because he knows guys are jumping that and that's the safest place to be, right?
No, he just wasn't moving.
But then he wasn't moving. It wasn't even like he was trying to slide off to the side and I thought, oh.
I think he was unconscious for a few seconds.
I do too. I want to know. I thought they were a little slow with the red.
Well, no, I'm not sure. No, I don't agree with the real slow with the red because they had to get out there and figure out what was going on. They were very slow because that corner worker with the yellow flag, he didn't run up to try to get in front of Malcolm to weigh the bikes off that were jumping over Malcolm.
Yeah.
He kind of strolled up.
Yeah, well, they were kind of slow with that, too.
It was to the point where I was yelling at the TV, get over there and swipe him off.
Yeah, I was a little shocked that, like, that guy kind of seemed to not know what he was doing. Like, if you watch other
Supercross...
Well, I
Supercross, do know these are volunteers.
Yeah, but if you
really,
watch other Supercross, they run out there and they get in front of the guys to protect them. And this guy was... I
bet you there's people jumping over Malcolm. Didn't he know he was underneath of him?
Yeah. No, definitely that first guy. That first guy that started that triple had no idea he was under there. Right? So, that was a big hit. You said you saw an injury report?
I really thought he hit his head and his shoulder and maybe collarbone, busted
clavicle.
Up shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, according to this article, he had a very bad broken femur.
You know,
he had surgery yesterday to work on it, pins and plates and stuff.
There was a girl we kind of go back and forth with on Twitter during the Supercross races. I think she's out of Arizona because she was actually there.
Yes, if you're on Twitter, it's at Dirt Bike Girl. Something
like 59 or something like that. Not 69, guys. Calm down.
Probably should look it up and get it the right one.
Yeah, probably. you do that. But she was out there saying that her seats, it happened right in front of her seats. And she said, broken leg, that they were femur or something because they were the way they were bandaging it up and stabilizing it.
Well, which they didn't show on TV.
Which they didn't show on TV. So sometimes you can get some real good information out of Twitter, and other times you get crappy stuff because, you know, that's the way it works. You know, it's a shame because I think this was one of the best starts to Dirt Bike Girl _12.
Oh, that's yeah. Yeah, I just found it. Right as you said it, I found it.
Anyways, I think this is a good opportunity for Malcolm.
It was because he was doing
the Husky,
was performing well both races. He did well up until the accident.
Yeah,
and that particular the other people were struggling in those whoops. I mean, Muskin struggled in them.
Yeah.
Tomac struggled in it. So people
What's
were struggling.
With Muskin?
I think he's still. You know, he got hurt in the off season.
still recouping?
I think he's not 100%, but they don't say anything about it.
And Roczen, I still see the same thing. If he's in the clear, he's fast.
Oh, yeah. If he can get out front and stay out front, he's going to win. He's going to win this season.
But if he's got to go through traffic, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
What do you think of the staggered start?
For the
restart after the red flag.
Well, it's just in the rules. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. It is what it is.
Okay, we don't see that often. That's why I was...
No, but that, you know, but it's been in... I don't think I've seen it ever.
Yeah.
But it's what's in the rules.
All right.
Oh, I think it cost Rocks in the race, as I said earlier. You know,
well, he had another hole shot attempt could have cost him the race, too. I mean, the red flag probably cost him the race. Although, I think people were gaining. I was kind of shocked when Anderson went by him. I was shocked. I mean, I was shocked. I'm shocked anytime Anderson passes somebody.
Well, the guy who got the most out of the restart was Baggett, because he was doing okay, but because of the restart, and he became the fastest rider on the track after the restart, occasionally.
Yeah.
So that it did the most for him, because he actually won the race because of the restart. Yeah. He might have finished on the podium, but he might not have.
Yeah.
Without the restart.
You know, and then Anderson got up there, and I was really hoping to see a Musquin Tomac Roczen battle towards the end, but never really materialized. I was kind of surprised Barcia didn't have a better race or a better night. Like, he didn't even look that great in the heat races, or whatever you want to call them.
And then you had Tomac go to the LCQ.
Yeah, well, the Kawasaki's having some kind of problem.
They're not the same bike.
No.
After watching this segment, we know it is a pretty significant change from last year's bike to this year. They have, you know, done a lot of changes to it.
Yeah. Because Savacci didn't even make the final, right?
Yeah.
He didn't. His bike wasn't even able to get back into the LCQ.
Yeah, so you know there's Kawasaki tent is having, you know, put the sides down and, so, you know,
something's going on this
earmuffs
week.
On.
I guarantee there's some work going on this week. So they were having some problems, which is kind of odd, because they've been a very consistent bike over the last 15 years. We end up with Roczen in the points lead.
And boom. Barcia who won, I mean, the previous week, he was not a factor.
No.
He wasn't a real factor at all in the main.
Yeah, he ended up being, sixth.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, I kind of expect more out of Bogle.
And there's two people I also expected more out of this week was Dean Wilson, because he did so well the previous.
Yeah.
And Cooper Webb. You know, he made a run towards the end of the last race, and he didn't do anything. Both of them finished in the top 10, so good finishes, but not what people are expecting.
Yeah, and I want to say Plessinger. I was a little disappointed.
Where was he?
I had to look.
I made one comment on him all night long.
About his big P? I know you like talking about his big peanut. Anyways, that's gay or whatever. And we'll be
there, man, goes our last music. Listener.
There goes
we had hundreds of thousands. Now we have none.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll be all right. This week coming up, back to Anaheim 16.
Anaheim 2.
It's early. Oh, it's early.
Give it a few weeks. Then it'll be up there.
Give it a few weeks. You know, maybe next week we'll have some other like silly season news kind of stuff. So we'll tease that a little bit for next week. There's a little bit to talk about this week. So we'll be back next week. Maybe Tuesday, maybe Sunday.
Same podcast channel.
We're going to have to see what the weather's like again.